ministry are pretty good, too. Good news, the women's ministry voted to send you a get well card. That's nice. Bad news, the vote passed 31-30. This is my favorite one. The elders accepted your, this is good news, the elders accepted your job description the way you wrote it. Bad news, they were so inspired by it, they also formed a search committee to find somebody capable of filling the position. Good news, Mrs. Jones is wild about your sermons. Bad news, Mrs. Jones is also wild about the Gong Show, SpongeBob SquarePants, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, this one would hurt. Good news, church attendance rose dramatically the last 3 weeks. Bad news, you were on vacation. And finally, good news, the youth in your church come to your house for a visit. The bad news, it's in the middle of the night and they've armed with toilet paper and shaving cream to decorate your house. Don't get any ideas, okay? No ideas. Well, you know, it's the nature of what I do that sometimes I have to deal with bad news. But you know what I think would be the very worst possible news that I could receive? If for some reason I left here and was called to another ministry somewhere, and I heard later on that a preacher had come in here to Northside and began to preach things that were in direct opposition to the things that I'd preached and tried to tell you for many, many years. I mean, the guy came in and he preached the gospel. It didn't have anything to do with the grace of God, but had everything to do with law keeping and rule keeping. And then I also heard that not only had that guy done that and someone like that had come in here, but that you had bought into everything that he had said and everything that I had tried to do for over a decade had been undone. I think that would be the very worst possible news that I could ever receive. And I say that because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was facing when he wrote the letter to the church in Galatia. I hope you're reading this letter every week, like I've asked you to do. You'll be benefited if you will do that. And as you read it, what you discover is that Paul's not surprised that they've encountered some strange teachings. He's not surprised that they've encountered false teachers and false doctrine, because the Bible's full of warnings about that. The Bible's full of warnings where you need to watch out for false teachers. You need to watch out for false doctrine. But Paul was surprised how quickly his converts, these people that he had taught and converted to Jesus Christ, how quickly they bought into these false teachings. Now, as you read it, it's very, very clear. Paul blames these false teachers for their role in what was going on in Galatia. But Paul was also angry with these Christians because of their gullibility. And I think that brings up a really good point. God holds me accountable for how I teach the gospel. I mean, anyone who gets up and does what I do has to feel the burden that we are accountable to God for what we teach. So we're held accountable, but God also holds you accountable for how you hear that gospel and whether or not you hold on to it. You are responsible for recognizing false gospels and rejecting them when you hear them. And so one of my roles as a preacher is to try to communicate the true gospel to you so often and so clearly that when you hear a false gospel, you immediately recognize it and you reject it straight away. Now, to make that point, I want to read to you, turn to Galatians 1 in your Bibles or follow along on the screen. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now writing to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Now, Paul is upset. And he's upset that these people that he'd spent so much time with and that he loved and had told them about Christ, he's upset that they would quickly and naively buy into a message that was so fundamentally, profoundly different than the message that he had given them. This was his worst possible news. This was really bad news rising. And what Paul says here in this text, these are some of the harshest, hardest words in the New Testament. But you need to hear what he says. We need to understand what Paul is saying so that we can be prepared to combat the same kind of false teachings. Now, before I get into this, we kind of skipped a week in this series with the Aggies for Christ last week. So let me back up just a little, and I want to do some things by way of explanation. What we're talking about here is the doctrine of legalism. Let me define this again, because I want to make sure everybody's on the same page and you're clear, you hear what I'm saying. When I'm talking about legalism, I'm not talking about law keeping. Every single follower of God and Jesus Christ is a law keeper. That's obedience. And we should excel in obedience. So when I'm talking about legalism, I'm not talking about law keeping. Instead, legalism says you depend on your law keeping in order to be right with God. That's what legalism is. Legalism says that you can devise some type of a law system, law-keeping system, that is somehow redemptive. I mean, you can come up with a creed, you can come up with a list of do's and don'ts, you can come up with stuff about church organization and worship and all these things, and you have a checklist. That's legalism, where you've got to do all this stuff in order to be saved. And as we'll see, Paul says in this text that if you do that, you completely change the gospel. And that's why Paul was so harsh with his words in this text. Now let me say also something about legalists. Legalists are still with us today. They're in just about every church. And in some churches, all they preach all the time is legalism. The proponents of legalism, the legalists, they're not bad people. They're sincere. They want to honor God with their obedience. They've just made a crucial mistake. They've made the mistake of thinking that it's what they do that saves them. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago, movements like ours, the Restoration Movement, the Churches of Christ, I think are particularly vulnerable and susceptible to legalism because we're trying to do things the way we think God has revealed. And we're trying to do things the way we think He wants them done. But it's just a short jump from trying to please God to thinking that it's what we do that somehow saves us. But what we've got to be aware of is that Paul reserves his harshest language in the entire New Testament for people who would add law to the gospel of grace. It's interesting. What Paul had to deal with were probably Pharisees who'd been converted to Christianity. They'd become Christians. What we deal with are Christians who want to end up being Pharisees. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You'll hear it all the way through this series. There is no law-keeping system that you can devise that is redemptive. There is no law-keeping system that you can come up with. There is no creed. There is no checklist. There is nothing that you can bring to the table that saves you. Law-keeping is not redemptive. Restoring the New Testament church, folks, is not redemptive. It can't save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. I had a conversation this week with some folks from a different city. And we were talking, and one of the people that I was talking to said, you know, my family, this guy had been converted into the Churches of Christ and by his wife, and a really nice, godly man. And he said, you know, boy, I love my family, talking about his extended family on his side of the family, and they're good Christian people, but I don't know if they're going to go to heaven because they don't worship right. Folks, how you worship is not redemptive. The only thing that is redemptive is the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you. Now, you can have some ideas about all that other stuff, and you can have some preferences about all that other stuff. But that stuff does not save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. And saying that anything but the blood of Jesus can save you, folks, is not good news. It is bad news. And in this text, with some of the harshest words Paul uses in the entire New Testament, he tells us why. And let me share with you what he says. He says three things. Number one, he says legalism is bad news because legalism corrupts the gospel of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now that word pervert means to take something and make it the exact opposite. It means to reverse its nature. Take a thing, whatever that thing is, and make it the exact opposite of what it used to be. It's only used two other times in the New Testament. It's used in Acts chapter 2 and verse 20 where it talks about day turning to night. It's also used in James chapter 4 and verse 9 where James talks about how their laughing should be turned into mourning. And so what Paul is saying here is if you're going to insist on works of law to be saved, then you're talking about taking this gospel and you're making it the exact opposite of what it was really used to be and what it's meant to be. You're making human response the essence of the gospel and not what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so folks, hear me. Any gospel that makes your effort and your knowledge and your performance redemptive is actually no gospel at all. Regardless of who preaches it. And it's interesting, Paul mentions angels. And Paul says, I don't care who brings this message. I don't know where they say they get it. If it's different gospel than the gospel of grace, it's not gospel at all. Because the uncorrupted gospel of Jesus Christ always has at its essence the redemptive saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Folks, that's what the apostles taught. Let me give you an example of, if you turn back in your Bibles over to Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. I want you to listen. This is Paul preaching. Listen to what he says. He says, we tell you the good news. Here's good news. This is the good news. What God promised our fathers, He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. The fact that God raised Him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He died. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see death. And here's the punchline. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Now listen to what he says. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Now, folks, you need to take a note of when this little sermon was preached. Paul preached this on the first missionary journey. The first missionary journey was when he first established churches in Galatia. This is what Paul preached to these churches in Galatia. And this was good news. And Paul says, if you try to modify that message, you end up destroying it. Listen to what he says in Galatians 5, verse 2. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, and that was the addition of law that was happening in Galatia, you got to become Jewish first, you add circumcision, you add Sabbath observance, some other things. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. This is so serious, folks. You need to hear this. If you try to make even the smallest part of your salvation due to your performance, what you're saying is that Christ is of no value. I had a conversation with someone as I was getting into this sermon series. And this person said, you know, when I was a teenager and I was in a Bible class, church, I remember a guy standing up there at the blackboard and he drew a box, kind of a rectangular box, and he marked off about 95% of the box. And he said, you know, this 95%, this is grace. And this other 5%, that's what you do. And this person said, even as a freshman in high school, my blood went cold. Because I realized in that moment, there was no way I could be saved. Folks, if you add even the smallest part to the grace of God as your performance, you're saying Christ is of no value, and you pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many years ago in England, several babies died in a hospital one night, and they did autopsies on those children to try to find the reason why. They discovered that during the night, a nurse had been mixing formula for the babies, and that nurse had accidentally substituted salt for sugar in that formula. Now, they gave it to the babies. It looked the same. The babies took it very eagerly, but that one little difference was the difference between life and death for those children. And that's what Paul's trying to say. Paul's saying, listen, people are going to preach legalism, and they're just going to eat it up. It appeals to our pride. It appeals to our own ability. It puts the control in our hands. People are going to eat this stuff up, and they're going to say it's so good, but that one little change they're making in the gospel is the difference between life and death. They are perverting the gospel. Legalism corrupts the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. But he doesn't stop there. Number two, he also says legalism is bad news because legalism confuses people in the body of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 7, he says again, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion. That word confusion is a strong word. It's the word that's used of Herod when he heard that there was a baby king that had been born in Bethlehem, and so he had all those baby boys under 2 years old killed. He was troubled. He was confused. His mind was full of anxiety. It's the same word that's used of the disciples when they're out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and they see Jesus walking on the water, and they think he's a ghost. It's the same word that's used in John chapter 14 when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So this is a strong, strong word. And what Paul is saying is because you've accepted this false gospel, now your hearts and your minds are just full, totally upset and full of anxiety. Listen, folks, perverting the gospel and troubling or upsetting the church always go together. They always go together. When you change the gospel, you end up throwing the church into confusion. And I'm telling you this morning, folks, this is part of our heritage in the churches of Christ. This is part of our legacy. I mean, legalism has led us to judge each other. We compare ourselves to each other. We split churches left and right. Because I'll tell you what, it's very, very hard to keep a legalist happy. Because the moment you think you've done one thing to make the legalist happy, something else always comes up that's got to happen. And so we have split church and split church and split church over and over and over again because of legalism. But the other thing that it's done, the more horrible thing that it's done, is that it has led wonderful people in our fellowship to doubt and to question their own salvation. Because, folks, this is what legalism says. Legalism says you're going to have to measure up constantly before God or you're out. Oh, you might have done okay yesterday, but you know, you mess up today and you're done. One day you're in, one day you're out, one day you're saved, the next you're not. Because, folks, righteousness based on performance only produces anxiety. Because there's always something else you could do better. Is there anybody here this week that measured up? Is there anybody here who did everything they knew they were supposed to do? Is there anybody here who maybe left something undone? We're all like that. We're all like that. I cannot tell you. Oh, this makes me so emotional. I cannot tell you the number of faithful, godly people in the Church of Christ that I have spoken with on their deathbed who are scared to death because they're not sure they've done enough to go to heaven. That is the legacy of legalism. This is a legacy we must reject. Please hear me. If you hear nothing else this morning, please hear me. You are not and will not be saved by how much you do. Because you can never do enough. The truth is, you don't bring anything to the table when you're saved. It is the blood of Jesus that accomplishes all of that. You will never, hear me, you will never be able to do enough to go to heaven. Because what you do is not redemptive. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. And when you come to the end of your life, your security is not based on your performance. Your security is not based on how many Bible classes you taught or how many times you went to church or how many people you converted and baptized. It's got nothing to do with that. Your security rests in the sinless, holy, perfect body of Jesus Christ hung on that cross with His blood shed for you. That's what this was about. That's why this is so important. Because we remember that. And what we've done often is we've created here, this is just another legalistic check mark that we've got to do. That's not what this is about. It's about remembering that when we come to the table, we don't bring anything with us. Folks, that's good news. I have taken to signing my emails, Grace and Peace. Paul says that a lot. And the reason, I used to say blessings. Before that I would say in Him. But now I'm doing grace and peace. Because grace and peace go together. Because folks, you will never have peace until you rest only on the unchanging grace of God. And any gospel preached by anyone from anywhere that leads you to think that one day you're going to be saved, and that one day you're saved and the next day you're not, and that your salvation is based on what you do, how good you are, how much stuff you do, that is false gospel. It is not a real gospel, and you need to reject it. This false gospel, legalism, leads to confusion, and that's not all. Paul says one other thing, one really hard thing. He says legalism is bad news because legalism is condemned by God. Twice in this text, he says, you let a person who preaches a gospel like that, you let them be eternally condemned. The Greek word is anathema. It means to be devoted to destruction, especially with the idea of being devoted to destruction by God. And what Paul is saying, and folks, this is hard, is that a person who preaches a gospel like this ought to just go to hell. That's what he says. Why? The reason Paul says is because a person who preaches legalism is leading people away from the Lord. Now, look closely at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul's not talking about himself there. He's not saying, I can't believe you've left my preaching. That's not what he's saying at all. He said, Paul says, you're leaving God. Folks, when you walk away from the truth of the gospel, you're also walking away from the person of the gospel. If you accept and embrace legalism, you're rejecting Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in Galatians 5 and verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. To embrace legalism is to reject Christ. You know, there are counterfeiters in our nation who are really good at making money that looks real but isn't. And people will take that money and they will try to use that money and they will try to spend that money. But the reality is that money's not real because it doesn't have the authority of our nation behind it. And someday that money's going to come before the authority of this nation and it will be condemned and destroyed, and the ones who made it will be judged. And folks, in the very same way, if you preach a false gospel, people may love it and they may spread it, but it doesn't have the authority of Christ behind it. And someday that gospel is going to stand before the judgment seat of God and it will be condemned and the people who preached it will be judged. You know, when you read Galatians, the question really that we ought to be asking ourselves really isn't, why is Paul so mad at those legalists? That's not the question we ought to be asking. The question we ought to be asking is, why aren't we just as mad about legalism today? I think it's time to speak out against a doctrine that has hurt so many people for so many years. And when I want to ask you to join me in speaking out. Let's pray. Father, we rest only on Your unchanging grace. And Father, I pray that in those moments when we want to trust in ourselves and we want to trust in our ability and our understanding and our performance and our the things that we do, I pray, Father, that when we're tempted to do that, You will touch our hearts and remind us that we stand justified before You only by the blood of Your Son. My prayer, Father, is that we, all of us, would be champions of grace. That we would begin to understand in a deeper, more significant way what it means to be saved by Your grace. And Father, I pray that people that we know who struggle with legalism, I pray, Father, You'll give us the words to be able to show them what grace really is. Father, that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you'd like to place membership or have prayer, you can go to our foyer.